y'all come on in. I want to share some quick announcements. I want us to get right in because we have a packed, We have a packed, filled morning. I'm so excited about this morning. So Dads with Shields, how many of your husbands went to Dads with Shields? Jackie, yes, Justin told me. Put this on your calendar because we will be done with session and you will not hear me saying, Dads with Shields, Dads with Shields. So May 1st, Justin, this is probably his last one for this session, and they will definitely pick back up next session. So May 1st, 7 o'clock, I'm just hearing such great things about Dads with Shields, what God is doing. Justin, just the Lord is using him, and he and his team are, they care about your husbands, so they get your husbands there, Dads with Shields. The table, how many of you have put that on your calendar? The table, how many of you are inviting somebody that cannot come on Thursday morning? That's the purpose. Get somebody that cannot come on Thursday morning. I am so excited. I'm not going to teach at most of these, but I am going to teach at this one. So I'm really excited. I have never shared my personal story. I didn't think I had a story. I have a story. Let me tell you. Had to get counseling because of my story. But I'm going to actually share. I sat down. I've been struggling with what to say. I'm like, Lord, oh, what do you want me to say? So it's going to be a good word. I'm weaving it into Psalm 23. So I would love for you to come. We're going to have worship, which everybody loves. I'm going to share. And then we are going to have one in the summer. So y'all got to stay in touch with Moms with Swords. There are so many people on my radar to speak at these, so everyone is going to be amazing. So this one is May 10th. Put that on your calendar. Next session. Anybody excited about Moms with Swords next session? August 30th, another. I'm just loading your calendar. But remember, registration will be probably about a month before. And remember, Kids with Armor fills up in really quick, so save the date. Really excited about this. The Lord has kind of given me the concept for next session. I can't share it yet, but it's going to be good, so save the date. Purposeful Picks. How many of you signed up to get your pictures made this Saturday with Liz Lee and Autumn Fields Photography? Anybody here done that yet? Some of you aren't here. If you want to, there are still spots left. It's this Saturday. She's got a beautiful location. Liz has her own photography business. She is out there at the table. If you would like to get a spot, there are still spots left. So go see Liz out at the table. Pick up shirts. Look, y'all, I didn't wear the right bra. I thought, when I saw the picture, I thought it was a normal. See, look, that looks like a normal bra. So I wore a normal, but it's for a Razorback. So I'm doing this deal today. So I don't care. Hey, nobody can ever come in here and say, gosh, Joy is dressed to the nines. I got clean hair, and that's about all you get. But here is your Blackhawk tank. I got the blue, too, that blue. So I got both. I'm loving it so much. So pick it up if you ordered it. They are all back there. We want you to get them. A new thing this summer we are doing, we talked as a leadership team, we are going to do something. Everybody, if you've been around Moms with Swords long, you know that the things that God gives you, little things that happen in your kids' lives, I love to call them blueberries because they take a long time to get a big bushel. But sometimes God will just show you something in your kid's heart. I had some rotten blueberries in my 16-year-old's heart this morning. We won't talk about that, but there are blueberries lots of times that come. If you get a blueberry throughout the summer, your baby gets saved. Your baby accepts Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Something from your, if you were in some of these intentional prayer groups, something happens in your marriage. Something happens. God has, you know, clicked something with your identity. You finally understand who you are. There is going to be on our website, there is going to be a little link that you can go in and share it and boast. You can put your name. You don't have to put your name. But just know that I will see some of them and spotlight them on social media just because I just believe there's power in what God does and we do not need to hide it. So we want to boast in the blueberries that God gives us. So this is a way for you to stay connected with Moms with Swords throughout the summer. So it's not up yet. Sweet Michelle Carlton is in charge of our website. It's not up there yet, but it will be before when session lets out. So you will be able to click. And again, if God gives you a blueberry, so many of you message me, and I love that. You can still do that. But look, here's a forum that you can put it on there for everybody to see the boast of what God is doing. So definitely do that. Next week, Last Moms with Swords is next week. Very sad. That's when I my work will start for next session. I've been on a rest, but now I'm in work mode after next week. So it's soar into summer. It is going to be so much fun. Let me tell you how the morning's going to go. Worship. We're going to have worship. Everybody loves worship. We're going to be doing worship, and I've got a few people that are going to share blueberries. They're going to boast in what the Lord has done. So we are going to do worship and boast and worship and boast. And Tiffany Abernathy is going to give y'all a little charge. And then we're going to send you to your prayer groups for a little bit, just so you could hug, say bye, get a little bit of loving before you leave. And then we're going to release you. And out here, there is going to be tables. We got Chick-fil-A coming. Hallelujah. And we got a cookie truck. Michelle Carlton, if any of you have had her cookies at Moms of Swords, their food truck, their little cookie truck is going to be here. We are going to have tables. The lady from WinShape, how many of you send your kids to WinShape? That lady is going to be here. She is going to be sharing. And it was so cool. We were interacting yesterday on email. And she, y'all, the Lord, well, I'll save that for another day. But I was glad I was nice to her on email because her daughter has come to Moms with Swords. I'm always like, oh, shoot. But I was really nice. I was really nice. But she's like, oh, my daughter came to Moms with Swords. They've moved since. But she is over WinShape Camp. So she is going to come and share and talk about it for just a little bit. So WinShape will be here. All the different VBSs. If you have donations, if you saw my video this week on social media, I got a really cool, a chiropractor gave me this 6 sessions for a salt room. I don't know what that is, but it's something cool that a chiropractic does. It's worth $150. That is going in the gift basket. So if you have donations, Jamie Thompson is back there with baby Nora. Any of those three ladies back there, you got Jamie, you got Jen in the green, and you got Michelle. Give your donations to one of them. If you brought stuff, if you have a business that you brought a donation for, give it to them and we will make sure. So we are going to have giveaways. You are going to take our Moms with Swords survey and you're going to get a ticket, and that's going to be how you get entered to win the amazing gift basket. So you don't want to miss next week. So get here. It's our last one and it's going to be so, so, so good. And finally, I was blown away by the She Is Free response. Y'all, we had 68 of you. We can't do it in my house. Yes, that is worth clapping. Y'all, this book, I believe in this book. I so back this book. I'm trying to get this lady to come to Moms with Swords. Listen, if you can come, I want you to come. If you've got a friend, bring a friend. There's going to be the sign up. It's back there. We need you to sign up because we're starting to get the dates ready. I want you to watch this book trailer really, really quick. If you're on the verge of maybe I will, maybe I won't, I want you to watch this really quick.
My pain had many vices. I protected myself. I tried to ignore my pain by operating in fear and unforgiveness and control and manipulation and anger. It was damaging my relationship with my husband and my children, and it was keeping me from walking in destiny and my calling. I had 3 kids under the age of 3, and I needed to be rescued. I was in so much pain, and it was in this one breathtaking moment where I literally rolled out of bed onto the floor, where the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit tangibly were present, and I realized it was in that place of his presence where I would be set free. In that moment, that facing my pain, I actually wasn't alone. Jesus was with me. It was in that place where he would hold me, where he would put his hand to the enemy and say, she's free. She is free here. You can't touch her here. When I find myself angry, or I find myself controlling things, or I find myself walking in shame or isolating or doing any of those things, or afraid of the world and what's going on around me, and I go back and I sit in his lap and he gives me perspective again, and freedom comes, and it comes, and it comes again and again. What I realized through this journey is that freedom is possible. It's possible for you, it's possible for me, it's possible for all of us. She Is Free is a book that I know will set you free from the lies that hold you captive, that you will learn the truth about those lies, that they will begin to crumble around you. The things that you have believed have been protecting you, really those lies will just fall to the ground and you'll begin to walk in freedom. My prayer and my hope is that as you read every single chapter, that those lies, brick by brick, will come tumbling down around you and you will walk in freedom.
Y'all just pray her to Moms with Swords, okay? Just pray her or to the table. But if you want to sign up, please go back there and sign up. We are going to have it at Sanctuary. I have a final. We are going to be doing it here. I'm believing for 100 women. I'm boldly asking for 100, and I believe we're going to be there. We're going to do it back in the chapel, and we are going to do it on Tuesday nights. I misspoke last week because that's why you don't put me in charge of details. Tuesday nights here at Sanctuary. I'm thinking probably 7 to 8:30. I just stepped down to faith. I don't even know what my family, y'all know we're crazy with softball. I'm just believing that it's going to work out. So listen, just take the step of faith. I believe this book is, it's just, the Bible is all we need, but God gives us supplements that help aid in our healing, y'all. So if you can come to 4 of them, you can't come to all of them, we're going to try to concise them so that we'll get some, a couple, we'll do a couple in 1 week. So we're going to, it's not going to be the whole summer, we're going to try to end in June, right, Jen? So, but please sign up a friend. We're going to fill that chapel back there, and we're going to start probably, when did we say, Jen, maybe May, possibly our first Tuesday night would be May 15th, possibly. So keep that on your calendar, but please go register if you want to be a part of that. She is free. So, all right, would you stand, y'all? Y'all been sitting too long. Y'all stand for just a second. I want to tell you, I was out yesterday. I was literally outside the whole day. It was so beautiful. I was on my deck, and y'all, my husband was home. And y'all know what happens in my routine. And he had to give me the apology text. I promise I will hide, and I have errands to run, but I need to stay home. So he has to, I'm that terrible. I need to go to Aaron's marriage group. So he was home. So with a joyful heart, I just sat outside with Toby all day. And y'all, I was sitting there studying, and there was Woody Woodpecker, literally. There's some logs up on our hill, and this beautiful red woodpecker. I watched him fly all around. He was so close to me. And I wrote it in, this is my journal, and I said, Jesus, how do you feel about this session, Ascend? Did we do what you wanted us to do? And I looked at that woodpecker, and the Lord said, that strong beak has been what my word has done. I have cleared out some old bark to reveal treasure and nourishment inside of each of the women. God has cleared out some stuff so the stuff that you really need can surface. Well done. Well done. In that moment, I felt relief because as a leader, I feel pressure every week to get out of the way and to deliver Jesus to you. And I believe God has shown himself every week. And I want this last week of my last teaching to be no different. It's a harder message. I told them back in the prayer room, y'all, we'd fill this room if I would stop talking about what I talk about. But a long time ago, I knew this wasn't a popular message. I want God to take the strong beak, the strong hand, his strong word, and I want it to break up stuff in us, y'all. Because if it doesn't break up stuff in us, then all that stuff is just going to filter out on our babies. So may God continue to be glorified in this ministry, and may you continue to allow him to clear out all that old stuff. So Jesus, thank you, God, for the power of your word. There is nothing else that breaks yokes, that sets people free, as your word says. Only Jesus and your word do that. So God, today, would you continue the work? Would you continue to sit at our heart and peck away, God, all the lies, all the things that keep us captive, God, all the wrong thought patterns. Today, God, would you continue to just beat that away, God, so the nourishment that truly feeds our souls and will feed our marriages and will feed our children and will feed our friends can come forth. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. May your power and your presence be all that these women remember. A palpable presence, God. A palpable presence. The weight of your glory is what I'm asking. The heaviness of this world and the cares and anxieties, I speak to and say, leave in the name of Jesus and replace it with the weight, the heaviness of your glory. God, may we walk out of here heavy in a different way because we are weighted down with the glory of the calling of motherhood. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise him for his word. So here we are, week 7, finishing up talking about eagles. Have y'all learned? Some of you guys are real brainiacs. Y'all have loved. I've had so many people say, I love all the eagle facts. They've loved the eagle facts. And I actually, listen, y'all, I didn't learn in school, but I'm loving learning. I mean, I love it. I'm like, wow, if I would have put this much practice into my studies, I would have had a better GPA. But that's okay. Got a Holy Spirit GPA now. So today we're wrapping up talking about eagles. And this is a really cool characteristic. One of the characteristics about eagles that I find just fascinating. And it's how they face the storms. And so I've called this trait their tenaciousness. The tenaciousness of the eagle. And that word tenacious, I've actually used that several sessions back, and actually at the Y, I did a teaching about tenacious prayer and how we are to be tenacious. I love this definition. It means to be persistent, stubborn, and obstinate. You are stubborn, you're persistent, you're obstinate. What do you think about when you see storms coming? The eagle gets excited. You see, the eagles love the storms. They love them. They see them coming. And they use the wind, the updraft, to gain new heights, to ascend. They use these rising pockets of warm air, which are called thermals. They use that thermal, and all they do is they just glide above it. We talked about this last week. Instead of the excessive flapping, they simply soar because it conserves energy. They continue this process of gliding and catching the next thermal, ascending and gliding, and it allows them to cover long distances using the smallest amount of energy. They don't fear when heat comes, if you're familiar with the book of Isaiah, those who trust in the Lord are like the tree planted beside the still waters. When the winds and the rains come, when the fire comes, we are supposed to be like these eagles. But what I believe happens all too often is moms everywhere are just flapping. They're just flapping, and so there is no energy. Instead of doing what God wants us to do, he wants us to intercept that thermal, that hot air, that storm, and use it for our good to rise above it. Now, I don't know how you feel about storms, physical storms. I am terrified of them. Weather storms, the wind, tornadoes, and I know it traces back. I can tell where that fear came in. I was born in Huntsville, Alabama. Until I was about three, I lived there. And I can remember, I mean, I have this vivid memory from our house to our neighbor's house who had a basement of my mom taking us out of the bathtub and walking us over to Jackie Clement's house to get in her basement. And it was black as night, and it was windy and stormy. So when the winds come, I am physically scared. And I have to take that thought captive and make it submit to Jesus. But then there are those spiritual storms that are every bit as frightful. And I just want you just to call out, tell me some storms, some spiritual storms, just some storms in general that you as a mom are scared of. Come on, call them out. What was that? Bullying, okay. Drugs, sickness, the future. What about the death of a child? What about divorce? Adultery. Those are some storms that there are a few of you in this room that have already endured. If you remember Haley last session and Mary in a body up here sharing how they have both lost sons. Haley, very young, and Marianne, a teenager. They have walked through something that all of us pray we will never have to walk through. But I wish I would have known these facts last session, because the reason Haley can even sit in her chair, because for me, the grace is not upon me to walk through that, but I know that God gives you the grace to walk on that. So right now, in my physical flesh, I'm like, you'd have to bury me with my child. But like Haley, because of Haley's position, before that storm was allowed into her house, Haley didn't do this through it. Haley took that storm and intercepted that storm and is now gliding. If you ever want to talk to somebody about some stuff and how you can walk through some stuff, find this sweet mama right here. Haley, raise your hand. She has intercepted the storm and is using it for so much good, and God is getting so much glory. Moms, the eagles are ready for the storm. Are you? God will sometimes, y'all, allow a storm to teach us how to fly. I am prime example. I coasted through life. I loved being a kid. I loved being a child. I had a great childhood. There were things that I have had to get set free of that you'll hear at the table. But for the most part, I had a great childhood. I was the best singer. I got every award. Anything I signed up for, anything I auditioned for, I got it. But y'all, God had to allow a storm in the form of me not being able to sing. Literally, my voice taken away because I didn't know how to fly. So he had to allow something to teach me how. And what I want today, I want us to get ready. I want us to be in the position so that when the storms come, they won't ground us. We're ready for them. We're ready for them. With my kids, man, y'all, as I'm looking into the hearts of my kids and dissecting and digging up and unearthing stuff in my kids, I can see some of the storms that God might have to allow each one of them to walk through to get them to bend their knee. I want to teach them, though, how to fly so that the storms that are going to have to come won't ground them. Jesus said it, in this world you will have trouble. He's already warned us. But now y'all know I'm a woman of faith and I'm believing that we can stand. There's a mama right now that's at a doctor's appointment, text me this morning. We are believing for, a total opposite report of what the doctor's going to give her. We're believing. So I am a woman of faith and believing. But listen, I know the storms are going to come. So when they do, what is our position? What is our position? I want the Holy Spirit to change our perspective this morning. And instead of fearing the storms, intercept the storms like the eagle does. Take that hot air and rise above it. I believe there is rest to be had, to be plundered in the storm. I kind of took this word rest, and it's not going to be on your notes. Y'all need to thank Ann. Every week, she's the reason y'all have notes. Sweet little Ann up there writing all these down. And the Lord gave me this yesterday, so you won't have it. But I kind of intercept. Can y'all tell I really am on this word, intercept? I love that word now. Intercept. I intercepted this word rest, and this is what I came up with. What's that called when you take the letters and acronym? See, I am learning. Rest. So R, relinquished. E, expectant. S, steady. And T, trust. Relinquished, expectant, steady, trust. That, I believe, can be our position in the face of the storms that we will walk through. The enemy is ready. Just as God has a plan for you, y'all, plans for your kids, and we know that they are plans to prosper them. We know they are plans for God's good, for their good and God's glory. We know that. But y'all, we've got an enemy, and he is poised to pounce. Look at this. I'm going to show you lots of scripture, so get ready. It's going to be a lot in lots of different versions. 1 Peter 5:8. I love the way it says it in the message. 1 Peter 5:8. Keep a cool head. Stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping. Keep your guard up like a cat, y'all. He's ready. He's ready. The Bible, this is not joy. The Bible, Jesus has told us that. He's poised to pounce. But look at Ephesians 6, 11 through 12. Now, we got three versions of this one. I loved it in all three, so we have to use all three. So this is the voice. Okay, so he's poised, but look, y'all, put on God's complete set of armor provided for us. A choice every day. Y'all, I was making up John Williams' bed yesterday, and he's got that red Georgia bulldog comforter. I was praying as I was making up that bed. I was like, Jesus, you are going to cover him. This represents your blood as it goes over him every night as he gets into this bed. You just wrap him up. I was choosing to pray God's armor over my son. You got to do it every day. You got to choose. Put on. God's not going to put it on for you. It's ready and available, but you got to choose to put it on. Those babies get out of your car every morning. You pray the armor of God over them. Put on God's complete set of armor. It's provided for you so that you will be protected. Look, as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. Man, y'all, sometimes I say the Lord, pick on somebody else. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. For they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. Look at this in the next version. Put on the full armor of God to protect yourselves from the devil and his evil schemes. We're not waging war against the enemies of flesh and blood alone. No, this fight is against tyrants, against authorities, against supernatural powers and demon princes. Look at this, that slither in the darkness of this world, and against wicked spiritual armies that lurk about in heavenly places. Y'all, you don't think there's a battle? You don't think it? And finally, in the message, and that about wraps it up. God is strong, and he wants you strong. So take everything the master has set out for you, y'all. Well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so that you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. You are not defeated. You are able to stand up against everything. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps. A life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Then look at John 16:33. Jesus telling us, and everything I've taught you is so that the peace which is in me will be in you and will give you great confidence. Look, as you rest in me, you can rest in the trouble, in the storms. For in this unbelieving world, you will experience trouble and sorrows. But you must, Mom, no matter what, you must be courageous. For I have conquered the world. And then look at it in the voice. I've told you this thing so that you will be whole and at peace. In this world, you'll be plagued with times of trouble, but you need not fear. I've triumphed over this corrupt world order. And then James 4, verse 1, verse 7. So submit yourselves to the one true God and fight against the devil and his schemes. If you do, he will run away in failure. Y'all, I don't know if it's because I'm old, but I've learned to get excited. When you guys tell me about all the you know what that's breaking loose in your house, it actually excites me in a weird way because I just know, we said it back there in the prayer room, y'all. This is a deep work that God is doing at Moms with Swords. It is a deep work that you are doing in your homes. You are taking this serious. So y'all got to know the enemy is, he is so mad. So you got to know you're doing something right. Because he is mad. C.S. Lewis says this. There is no neutral ground in the universe. Every square inch, every split second is claimed by God and counterclaimed by Satan. Your babies, y'all, there is a mission to take them out. You, there is a mission to take you out. That's why we're going to choose when the mission that comes to try to take me out comes. Oh, no, no, no. I know my position. And I know that I am more than a conqueror through Christ. So you gonna fight me? You better get ready for a fight. Bring it on. Bring it on. Today, moms, let's choose. Like we have to choose freedom. Every day I have got to choose to not bow down to the lies in my own head of the fear of man, the approval of man, the praises of man. I am what people think about me. I am who people say about me. Every day, I have to submit myself to God and say, I am who you say I am. I am who you say I am. So I have to choose that freedom. Every day, mom, as a mom, when my 16-year-old drives away, I have to choose rest. I have to relinquish her. I have to expect God to watch over her. And I have to just have a steady trust that his plan is the best plan for her. We've got to choose it, though, y'all. We've got to be tenacious about it. I am tenacious about my freedom now. I'm so tired of walking around believing things that are not true. I'm so tired of it. So I'm bucking my shoulders back and I'm a little obstinate and stubborn. And I'm a little intense at times, if you could tell. Oh, I'm very intense about it. And I'm intense for you when I'm delivering this word. I just want it to land on you. And I want us to go get our camo and our sword and just fight. Our babies, their destiny, your marriage, your life, your influence is so worth it. Man, the plan for you, the plan for your children is so great. And while the enemy may be coming hard, our God is backing us and he is pursuing harder than the enemy. And we know We know that the victory is ours, but we gotta choose to take it and believe it. We gotta choose it. Now, I think we can approach storms by looking at a little football. And my sister is chuckling because she knows sweet little John William has been playing football for 5 years, and I still have no idea what the offense is and the defense is. I just have to ask. See, I can't retain the knowledge that's really actually, you know, for everyday life. Some storms, I believe that we are going to have to be on the defense. That's the storms, Natalie Neal, that's the storm when you were going to share, wherever you are, you were going to share, and you knew the enemy was, I mean, and from that day, it was all you know what over her. So she knew, but she knew, okay, this storm, this the enemy, he's coming, he's mad, he's coming. So Natalie had to get on the defense. But then there are some storms, Haley, you're on the offense. That's a storm that God has just allowed, and you just got to walk through it, and you just got to rest and walk through it. Now, I've learned a little bit about football. As I told you, John William is going into his fifth year. It'll be in the fall, and I'm hoping that they hit harder so he'll quit. Y'all, oh, Lord. But the good thing is John William is the position of corner. And look, I looked up the definition because I didn't even know what it really is. He has come into that position because John William is very logical. If you looked at my Facebook, just look at my Facebook and you can get an insight into his brain. He kind of learned something about Santa Claus this week. So I won't say it too loud because I don't want anybody to email me that I've ruined it for their kids. So look at my Facebook. So he's got this little logical brain. He's got his daddy's brain, which... yeah. So he asked lots and lots and lots of questions. So this is really good position for him because cornerbacks cover receivers to defend against pass offenses and make tackles. But what they do is they are more like John William is more of a thinker than a, you know, Sydney's just impulsive, our firstborn. Sydney, that's why she's a great softball player. Jessica, they know they're her coaches. Sydney just acts, you know, she just, the same thing that makes her good sometimes gets her burnt. But John William is more of, I'm going to sit here, I'm going to think. So he can see where the ball's coming. So then he can go and do whatever his position does. So he's on defense. He's on the defense. And defense, this is the definition of defense. And I've actually taken this as my job title now. So maybe you'll want to take it as your job title. Defense. The act of defending against attack or injury. A means or method of defending and protecting. Isn't that what we're doing every day, y'all? The act of defending against danger or injury. You with little toddlers, you're constantly watching them to make sure they don't go out in the street or they don't put something in their mouth. I mean, we're constantly doing that. The enemy has a method, but we aren't ignorant to his schemes. 2 Corinthians 2:11, we see him. In order to keep Satan from getting the upper hand over us, for we know what his plans are. See, Natalie knew the storm that was coming against her was the enemy. It was so obvious. Sometimes, y'all, you gotta pray that the sin gets exposed in your kids. Just pray that the enemy gets exposed so that you know what kind of storm is coming into your home. Because he doesn't really do anything new. It's pretty, we can see him pretty easily. He doesn't have anything new. He dangles the same carrot in front of my face all the time. I'm like, you need to get something new. So he won't get the upper hand over me. So you gotta be looking for him. My nephew played football in college. He played on the defense. Wasn't he a defensive linebacker? Which I don't really know what that is. Close to the quarterback? He defends the quarterback. No. Oh, that's offense. Oh, he's keeping them from scoring. Okay, yeah. Okay. Now, see, I'll still be asking these questions when we're in August and watching John William and Connor play football. I'll be still asking these questions. So Bryce played football, and I asked Bryce, I said, Bryce, what is the most important part of the defense? And he told me, he said, the most important part of the defense is to not let the other team score so that Satan should not outwit us, and to work harder than the opposing offense. Moms, that's it. We must work harder than the opposing offense. But I believe that that doesn't mean that we have to, again, this not the flapping, it's the gliding. Because God is giving us the ability to face the opposition from a position of rest. But we've got to work harder. We got to glide on the heat of the storm. We've got to take the storm. See, what we do, Psalm 46:1, you know, God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. We want to intercept the trouble. We want to intercept it, control it, change it. But God is saying, just let me be God in the trouble. Haley couldn't do anything about the storm that was coming. It was an offensive storm. God had, again, not didn't cause anything, but God allowed it. So Haley didn't try to intercept it and control it. Haley was allowing God. I mean, she'll tell you, she literally felt like her feet, like she wasn't even on in her room. Like it was, God had lifted her up on a thermal, y'all. So God was her refuge and strength in the trouble. Listen, sometimes we got to fight against the trouble, but sometimes let's just trust God to be in the trouble with us. He is in there with us. He is in the trouble with us. And I think we also have to be very careful. Some of us get the same storms coming in our lives. Some, again, like, because we know the enemy doesn't throw anything new. Sometimes he throws the same thing. My friend Erin, you talked to her about that. He knows your triggers, and so he'll throw the same kind of thing. But let me just say, I was listening to a message yesterday, and the Holy Spirit told me this. Make sure you don't allow your storm to name you. Do not allow your storm to become who you are. See, I talked about it several sessions ago. Some of us love, we actually, because we have so many storms, we kind of just look for them and they become who we are. That's just who I am. No. You are not your storm. God is using the storm, but you are a daughter. You are a daughter that God wants to use the storm to make more into his image. Do not let the storm name you and become your identity. Some of you, you struggle with the same thing, comes and comes and comes, and then that's who you become. Or your kids struggle with certain things, and you become that storm. You become, that's her, like the man with the crippled hand in the Bible. That's what this sermon was all about. He was a man with a crippled hand, but he was a man. So don't let that storm become your identity. And look at Jeremiah 56. Here is a method. Here is a perspective. I loved the way this words in the voice. It says, my people have become like lost sheep, and their shepherds have led them astray. They wandered so far. This is talking about the Israelites. They've wandered so far from my protection on mountaintops and hills. They lost their way, worshiping false gods, forgetting where I was and where they could find rest. Y'all, in the storms, in the trouble, do not forget where you can find rest. That's where the abiding comes. And I know so many moms who when the storm comes is when the kids go to the youth group. When the storms come is when they go, oh gosh, I'm gonna get a mentor. Y'all, that's why today, can you just resolve that you're gonna position yourselves, you are gonna abide, you are gonna find rest in your God so that when the trouble comes, you're not flapping. You're already ready. You have already been finding rest. Look, the Israelites. They kept wondering, God saying, would you just come to me? And I'm here to give you the rest needed. No flapping required. In the trouble, allow God to give you the rest. He is your rest. For every storm, every thermal of hot air that comes in your life is allowed by God, not from God, but allowed by Him. Think about Genesis 50, verse 20, and Joseph. Even though you intended to harm me, God intended it only for good, and through me, He preserved the lives of countless people, and He is still doing today. Well, God doesn't cause the storm. God allows. It's His allowing. He chooses for us the storms that are going to come. And we got to discern the storm. And do I need to be on the defense, God? Or do I need to be on the offense? You got to discern your storm. But you got to realize where your place of rest and where your place of refuge is. Because both of these types of storms, whether you're on the defense, I like the defensive storms a lot better than I like the offensive storms. I like fighting the devil a lot more than I like submitting to God's sovereignty. It's a lot easier for me to fight the devil than to submit to God doing a breaking or allowing something to teach me something. I've walked through some really, really hard things. The death of my parents, it was hard. It was hard. It was an offensive storm. But I believe God had prepared me and I was ready to walk through those storms. I've walked through some personal, major personal persecution that God has allowed. Been a lot harder. But they all serve one purpose. At the end of the football game, the whole goal is to get your ball into the end zone the most times. The eagle could choose not to catch a thermal and flap their wings, and they would probably be dead. One study of an eagle in flight observed less than 2 minutes per hour in flapping flight. So much effort it takes and energy is used in flapping. It is why they don't do it. Y'all, the enemy does not want you to get into the end zone. He doesn't want your kids. He doesn't want, we have this treasures in jars of clay. We've got the prize that we are headed towards. The enemy is trying to keep that, y'all. His mission is to steal, to kill, and destroy. He doesn't want you to get to the end zone. He doesn't want it. We have got to remember where we position ourselves to fight the storms. How many times does the running back run the ball and get knocked down? Praise you, Lord. They had John William run the ball last season just a couple times because he did not like to do it because he does not like to be tackled. They wanted him to run the ball, and y'all, man, talk about praying. Some big boys on some of these other teams. They're going after the guy with the ball. That's the goal. They want the guy with the ball because they don't want him to make it into the end zone. Y'all, we have this treasures of in jars of clay. The enemy doesn't want you to make it into the end zone. He wants to knock you down and take you out. Y'all, can we purpose ourselves? Can we purpose ourselves that we are going to run with endurance the race that is marked before us? And we're going to make it. Our kids are going to make it. Look at Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. I'm not there yet, nor have I become perfect, but I am charging on to gain anything and everything the Anointed One Jesus has in store for me. And nothing, this is Paul, and nothing will stand in my way because He has grabbed me and won't let me go. God is running the ball with you. He is running beside you as you're going towards the prize. Brothers and sisters, as I said, I know I have not arrived, but there's one thing I am doing. I am leaving my old life behind putting everything on the line for this mission, y'all. I'm sprinting towards the only goal that counts, to cross the line, to win the prize, and to hear God's call to resurrection life found exclusively in Jesus, the anointed. The purpose of the storms, y'all, is this: Jesus, and to be more like him. The storms that come to whittle away our flesh, to keep us dependent on Christ. My kids will have to endure some storms, but man, may my position and my posture on the storms I've walked through, may it just splash upon them so that they know the goal of the storms is to win the prize. Yes, it's hard, y'all. Yes, it takes endurance. It takes groups like this. It takes other moms cheering you on. That's become my motto. I'm going to cheer you on because everybody's running a different race. Your kid's race is going to look different than her kid's race. Don't compare races. This might just be where we're going next session. Just a little teaser. Don't compare races. God may call this person to do something, and he may call your kid to do something else. Do not judge another's race. But cheer each other on in their race. The goal is Jesus. Let Jesus get your friend to the prize. You worry about getting your own self and your own kids, your own family. You worry about that. Man, this has been a lesson for me and my kids, and woo, the kids, my kids, their ages that they're in. Easy for me to look at other parents' kids and how they're doing, and I could easily be like, well, why is Joy, shut up and just run your race. So I'm telling you, run your race. It's going to look different. But the goal is Jesus. Encourage one another, y'all. Encourage one another on. What does the football player do when they finally make it to the end zone? I'll show you John Williams. He made it to the end zone one time, and he's got this move. He just. That's what he does. A little celebratory, little humble. See, well, I've got to work on that. But that little. But y'all, listen, when you make it through a storm, let's celebrate. Look at Proverbs 31. And it's actually verse 25, Ann. I think I gave you the whole. There, you got it. Look at that. This is what to me, this is how I believe that we can, in the rest in our storms, I believe that this is what we can do. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and her position is strong and secure. Look, she rejoices over the future. The latter day or the time to come, knowing that she and her family are in readiness for it. Today, mom, prepare yourself and your babies for the storms that are gonna come. And look, God says we can rejoice over it. When bullying comes, when your kid gets left out, because you know where to find rest, because you, mom, know where to go. Listen, you're ready for it. When the drugs, when the alcohol, listen, I got a 10th grader and alcohol is everywhere. Everywhere. Christian school, private school, homeschool, it's in every school. Because the enemy is not privy to where your kids go to school. Now that was a word, that was just Jesus. He don't care. Talk to Janice down here, youth director here at our church. That's his wife. Talk to her. He's coming at every kid, Christian, non-Christian. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? God says we can be ready for it. And right now, I'm coaching her. We just got through spring break. I'm coaching her on how to be prepared and to deal with all that. We got to ready ourselves for the storm. And I believe that we can laugh at the storm. Or at least buck our shoulders back a little bit and say, bring it on. Because I'm ready. I'm ready for it. One last trait, and Beth talked about this last week. It was so funny when she texted me. I told her I wanted her just to give y'all a little charge. She told me what she was going to talk about. I had just written this down in this teaching. And I said, Holy Spirit, it's so important. So it must be so important because I'm going to talk about it to end my sermon. The molting process of eagles. Beth talked about it. If you weren't here last week, listen to the podcast. Did you know that eagles molt? The eagle's lifespan ranges from 30 or so years. And by about 4 or 5, they will begin this process of molting. They will begin to lose feathers starting from the head down. This process may take months. Most will not be able to fly during this time. Even their beaks and their claws alter. Calcium deposits upon their beak. This is the time that the eagles are in most danger. They will descend, y'all, to the very low place during the process. In the cleft of the rock or the crevice. Remind you of a Bible verse in Psalm, He hides me in the cleft of the rock. One writer said it is the most pathetic sight to see. These valleys, now full of hiding, dying eagles, where they once soared over. But what is so beautiful, I just believe this. There's so many biblical principles in this human happening or animal happening. What's so beautiful during this time is the eagles that have survived the molting process will fly above the weak ones, the hiding ones, the ones that are laying on the rock, the pathetic. And those eagles that know how to survive a storm, how to survive the storm of molting, will drop food to these eagles. They will drop meat. And it is said that these eagles will spread out in the sunlight to let the sun absorb into their bodies. Now that is a sermon in itself. They know where to go. They know how to rejuvenate themselves, y'all. Do you know how to rejuvenate yourselves to get ready for the storms? The eagle does. He lays himself out on the rock where the sun can hit him, and the eagles that have survived can drop food. And guess what happens? If they survive, because there definitely are some that do not, they give up and they don't survive. But those with a tenaciousness, they begin taking that food in and they begin pecking at their beak on the rock. They break it upon the rock so it removes that calcium. It scrapes its beak against the rock. It scrapes its claws. The vision that was dimmed, which we learned about week 1 and 2, how impeccable their vision is, it becomes so dimmed. But what starts happening is that sunlight and that meat, it starts restoring the increase of tears. So their vision begins to come back, and then they will take to the skies. And if they endure this process, they are now stronger than before. Isaiah 40:31 becomes a reality. Their youth is renewed and they take flight. Do you see yourself in this story? Are you molting today? Are you molting today? Is God allowing you to walk through something? It might not be the death of a child. I pray not ever. But are you walking through something? Are you finding yourself at a low place and you just need somebody to drop something to you? You just need to lay it out in front of, in his presence. Just lay out in the sun and bask in his presence and say, God, I need you to rejuvenate me. Mama, I'm telling you, if that's you, get up. Allow God to give you what you need. Allow other people to feed you. Soak it in. Listen, that's not a time for you to hibernate. It is a time for you to come out. You soak in worship. You soak in sermons. You soak in asking people for help. Don't you hide. That is another thing that happens in our storms, is we retreat to isolation. And let me tell you something, the enemy can play really well and deal really, really good if you're isolated. That's why it's so hard for you to get here on Thursday mornings. He doesn't want you coming and asking another mom, will you pray for my marriage? My husband, he's an unbeliever. You think he wants that? If you're going through the molting process today, don't you hide. Come out. We're going to do that today. Listen, you can send me an email, but Holy Spirit told me this is how we're going to end. I want everybody to stand up. Some of you are facing storms. Listen. This is not a time for you to hide. This is not a time for you to put on a mask. I am begging you by the Holy Spirit wants you to take it off and be honest. If you've lost some feathers, if you're just tired and worn out, if a storm, a constant storm, I don't know, maybe sickness has been coming into your house. Maybe there's something going on with your kid that you're having to deal with, this constant behavior, something's happening. Today is your day. God brought you here because he wants to rejuvenate you. He wants to ready you for the storm. So we're going to make a public declaration with our mouths today. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Listen, you got to, I literally had church on my back deck yesterday. Declare is some versions of this scripture say declare or confess. It means in the Greek to publicly profess, to agree, to align with or endorse. This commentary said a public declaration of our agreement with what God has declared. Who doesn't want to do that? With your mouth? Oh, y'all better get ready. Listen to what the mouth in the Greek. Mouth in the Greek, in the Bible, because I preach the Bible. This is the Bible. Mouth, the point. Y'all ain't ready. I feel like Stephen Furtick all up in here. The point of a sword. The front edge of a weapon. Your mouth, mom, is a weapon. Your kids are sick all the time. Why don't you stop calling the pediatrician and start walking around their room, making up their bed, saying, in Jesus' name, I believe that strep throat is going to be gone. In Jesus' name, I believe this is not flu. Now listen, it's not that God will, but it's that he could. Come on. Speak it with your mouth. It's the point of a weapon. Is that good? That's the word. If you declare with your mouth, Alex Polk, over your baby, declare it. Believe that God could. Today, we are going to declare something with our mouth over every one of us present. I want you to say out loud, just repeat after me, these storms that you thought would take you out. Listen, I know there's storms on the horizon for me. So I'm declaring it. I'm not currently walking through some major storms, although I've got, you know, I'm dealing with 16, 13, and 10-year-olds. So those are storms in and of itself. But for those of you particularly that are walking through some hard storms, I want you to boldly declare this, because the storms that thought that would take you out, we're going to declare today, they're not taking you out. They're absolutely now just aiding in making you glide, ascend higher. So I want us, everybody, to say, devil, the storm you thought would take me out is actually setting me up to seize more plunder. I'm getting out of the thermal. I am getting out of the thermal. I am not who my storm says I am. But God is using it to make me a storm. So you better beware. I am ascending. God is my updraft. Beware. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Man, if I had a guitar, we would do worship right now. Woo! Y'all. We're coming out. Listen, if y'all don't know by now, my background is charismatic, and I'm sorry if I scared anybody, but listen, that was the word. We were using our mouths as the point of a weapon to declare things that God already said, or we're just doing it. We're just saying his word back to him. So listen, I'm going to release our prayer team right now. If you need prayer, if you are molting, listen, Haley, will you even go back there? Haley's going to go back there. If you are dealing with something, listen, if you're dealing with something and you need somebody to pray for you, these mamas are back there. Please don't leave here. You have just declared with your mouth to the enemy. So get ready. Get ready. Get ready. I can't wait for all the texts that are going to come to me, all the messages. The enemy, oh, he is on point now. Our God is our updraft. He's sending us off. So we're ready for the storm. But if you are still struggling, I want you to go back to one of these sweet mamas, and I want you to pray and pray for next session that God will give me what he wants to download to you. So God, I thank you, Lord, for this awesome morning. Declaring with our mouth, as your word says, a public declaration of our agreement with what God has already declared. I thank you that we can use our mouths. God, so often we think we got to have a pastor, or we got to have a Beth Moore Bible study, or we got to be like her. God, we got a mouth. You say, just open it. Let me use your mouth as the weapon. God, empower these moms. Man, I'm hearing the Holy Spirit just say that he is empowering you, mom. A flood of his empowerment is coming upon you to face what you're going to have to face. God, pour it out. Pour it out. Living water to empower these moms for the days, the weeks, the months, and the storms ahead. Devil, we're ready. We're ready. We are ready. Our God is our updraft. We will not flap. We will glide. We will glide and soar even in summer when we don't have moms with swords, because we got you, Jesus. Empower us by the Holy Spirit and make us dangerous in your hands, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you don't need prayer, you can go to your prayer groups. We'll see you next week, mamas. Next week.